Tonight I would like you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Familiar verses. I want to challenge you. We're still at the beginning of a new year. So the challenge tonight facing the year. Romans chapter 12. You know, this is the first month of the year. We still have 11 more months to go. And each one of us must decide and determine how we are going to face the year. It's very important. One of the first things people like to do at the beginning of a year is to make resolutions. Right? We try to do that. But you know what? Before the month, first month finish, we fail or we forsake those resolutions. We make resolution because we want to know that we are going to face the year with a purpose and a plan. That's why we try to make a resolution, because we want to have a purpose and a plan going forward in facing the year. So that's why we usually do that. But do you ever wonder how some people in the Bible face a new year? For Noah, a new year presented new possibilities, new paths, new pages. Because after the judgment of the flood, everything on earth was renewed, refreshed, and rejuvenated. Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. Actually, the Bible says the ark landed. I want you to see this. Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. This is a new year for Noah. It says, "And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry." That was a new year for Noah. Facing a new year with new possibilities. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, the children of Israel face a new year as a redeemed people saved by the blood of the Lamb. You could read that passage again. There is no better way to face a new year than to know for sure that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Bible clearly tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The Bible also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without a blemish and without spot." So if you're not saved, what better way to face the new year? To know that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 16 to 17, those verses tell us that Moses faced a new year knowing that he followed the word of God and finish the work of God entrusted to him. Let me show you this. Exodus chapter 40, verse 16 and 17. And they made two ouches of gold and two gold rings. Hope I'm having the right verse here. Exodus 14. Two gold rings and put the two rings in the two ends of the breastplate. Exodus 40, verse 16. Do I have? Oh, I'm reading chapter 39. Sorry. 40. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Verse 17. And it came to pass, note this, in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. Moses followed God's word. God gave him the pattern. And he followed God's word and he finished God's word. What better way to know that at the end of last year, you and I have done what God wanted us to do going into a new year. What better time to know that? What a way to face a new year. Then in Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1 to 3, King Hezekiah began a new year by putting his priorities straight. The house of God was priority to him. If you remember, his father Ahaz had closed the doors of the house of God. That's in chapter 28, verse 24. But Hezekiah, if you read those verses, I don't want to take the time to do that. If you read those verses, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1 to 3. Hezekiah, the Bible tells us, reopened, repaired, and rededicated God's house. As believers, we are to make God's house priority by being in church when the doors are open. So if you have not been regular in church last year, what better time to decide that this year, God's house is going to be priority. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the Lord's coming is very close. Every year God's coming is closer than the year before. When we are not in church for no apparent good reason, it will be as if we close the doors of the church. So church should be priority this year. We have to make the things of God priority. Bible reading and studying, prayer, witnessing, attending church, all these things should be priority in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us, and his righteousness. And all the other things that we are pursuing in life, God said he will add them to us. But you know what? We put it backward. We pursue the other things, and then when we find ourselves in trouble, then we want God. Put God and the things of God first, and you're going to be able to look back on your life and say, wow, I didn't expect it would have gone like this. When we put God first, God will take care of us. So facing the new year. Tonight, I want to challenge all of us on how we can face the new year. From Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. Let me just read these verses and then let you know where we will be going with them. Familiar verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are three observations I would like us to note from these two verses. Mention them and then we'll pray. First of all, verse 1, surrender for the work of God. I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Surrender for the work of God. Secondly, the first part of verse 2, submit to the word of God. God says in his word, don't be conformed to this world. That's the command. So we ought to submit to the word of God. And then finally, stay in the will of God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. That's what the Bible says. Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, folks, when we surrender to God's work, when we stay, or when we submit to God's word, that will guide us so that we can stay focused in God's will for our lives. So I want to challenge us from these two verses. Oh, Father, we truly want to thank you for the opportunity to share your word with your people. We pray that you help all of us to face this year as the theme and the emphasis of the ministry here, to make everything count for you. Thank you for your word. Speak to all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If we are serious about our Christian life, we will desire and determine to face every year, every month, every day, every hour, every minute, every second, we will desire to face it for God. My question tonight, have you decided that? Have you decided that you are going to face this year? This is going to be the year when I give it over to God. I'm going to face this year for God. First, you and I must surrender for the work of God. Note the appeal to surrender. Paul says, I beseech you. I beg you. It is as if he is appealing to them. He's begging them. He's asking them, please, this is what you need to do. The question here, why we should surrender? It tells us right there, because of God's mercies. Do you know how good God has been to all of us? Oh, just this morning, wife and I got up real early just talking about how good God has been to us. And all of us can testify. The Bible says if you're not saved, God has been good. He sent his rain on your house. You experience his sun. You're breathing his air. God is good. Amen. We don't deserve anything. And yet, God has been so good to us. Our God is a merciful God. He has displayed and demonstrated his mercy of love, his mercy of long-suffering, his mercy of loyalty toward us time and time again. Psalm 136, the whole psalm is dedicated to, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because he is merciful. Just throughout that whole psalm, Psalm 136. So why we should surrender, as Paul appeared? Because of his mercies. Paul appealed to us to surrender because of God's mercy. You know, we are saved by God's mercies. Let me show you something. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, the Bible says, but God, first of all, I like what he said before, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. But that changed the subject. You say, you're so beautiful, but you wonder what is coming next. But always change the subject. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. We are saved because of God's mercy, by his mercy. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7, basically said the same thing to some extent. He says that, Titus chapter 3, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We are saved by God's mercy. The Bible also tells us that we are spared from God's judgment because of his mercies. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. We are spared because of God's mercy. Familiar verse, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have what? Mercy. It's all because of God's mercy why he spared us. We deserve judgment. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. See, because of God's mercy. So we are saved by God's mercies. We are spared because of God's mercies. The Bible also tells us that we are sustained by God's mercies. It's because of the Lord's mercy why we are not consumed. Lamentation tells us. Scripture also tells us that we are surrounded by God's mercies. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Folks, it's because of God's mercy why God is appealing to us to surrender for his work. See, when we think of God's mercies toward us, there is no better thing to do but to say, Lord, here am I. I gave myself away. Gave myself to you. I want to serve you. The appeal. Why? We should surrender because of God's mercies. Another question, what we should surrender? clearly tells us our bodies. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. This is what we have. This is what we can give to God. We think that this is my body here. I do what I want with it. I dress how I want. I put in what I want. You're saved. It's not yours. God owns you by creation and conversion. See? God went out of his way to create us. And still after we have gone astray, God chased after us and converted us. So we are to give him our bodies. Bible clearly tells us our bodies are God's tools. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That's what the scripture says. I want you to see it. Romans chapter 6. Neither yield your members as instrument. That word instrument, as tools. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that he should operate in the last day of. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and as members of and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Our bodies are tools in the hands of God. See? We should hand it over to God. See, it's not belong to us. If you are saved, your body belongs to God. So our bodies are tools. The Bible also tells us our bodies are not only God's tools, but God's temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Which ye have of God, and you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which belong to God. I remember hearing this story about this guy who got saved. You know, he used to run around, smoke a lot of marijuana. And then he got saved. And his friends then were encouraging him. Smoke a spliff, man. He said, look, I really would like to, you know, but I don't belong to myself anymore. He said, what do you mean? He said, somebody bought me. We don't understand. And he used that as a testimony to say, you know, I've been saved. The Lord Jesus Christ paid my price of redemption. I don't belong to myself anymore. My body belongs to the Lord. I can't just put anything inside there. That is not pleasing to him. See, our bodies are God's temple. The Holy Spirit lives in us. If you're saved, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, God himself, came and resided in your body. So wherever you are as a Christian, that's why the Bible says we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And you only grieve somebody who loves you. See? If a person doesn't love you, he doesn't care what you do. You can destroy your own self, but God is so concerned about us. He doesn't want us to mess up. And that's why he grieves, especially when we're living in sin as believers. So, surrender. As we face this year, let us surrender for the work of God. The appeal. What is the appeal? Paul says, I appeal to you because of God's mercies. What we should surrender? He said, surrender your bodies. God's temple was the place where sacrifices were made. And that's what the verse says, right? as living sacrifice. Our body is the temple of God. And these sacrifices were priceless. It was David. After the death angel destroyed thousands of because of sin, David went to Anon. And he said, I'm going to give you all these instruments, everything you need, the ox, everything to offer sacrifice to God. He says, look, I'm not going to offer God any sacrifice that does not cost me anything. This sacrifice costs. And that's why it's so difficult for some of us to give God our bodies. Because of the cost. See, we want to take control. Look, it's my body. I want to do what I want with it. God says, pass it over to me. It's a sacrifice. It's dead. It's on the altar. So these sacrifices are priceless. These sacrifices are praiseworthy. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Let us offer the sacrifices of what? Praise. See? Bring praise to God. See? That's what God delights in. These sacrifices were also pleasing. Right there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, verse 16, it clearly tells us this. Let me just read that verse. We're not too familiar with that. Hebrews chapter 13, we know verse 15, but verse 16, listen to what the verse says. But to do good, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. Brethren, sisters, when we surrender ourselves to God as living sacrifices, it is a priceless sacrifice. It's a praiseworthy sacrifice. Is a pleasing sacrifice that will bring honor and glory to God. So as we face the year, will we surrender to God for his work? The appeal to surrender. Why we should surrender? God's mercies. What we should surrender? Our bodies. See. But note something else. Not only we see the appeal, but note the argument. Right there in Romans chapter 12 again. The argument given why we should surrender our bodies to God is very important and instructive. We are told it is reasonable. Reasonable. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your what? You think it's unreasonable? God said it's reasonable. I like what Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is one of my favorite verses. Verse 24, he said, only serve the Lord in truth and sincerity with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. You ever sit down and try to see all that God has done for you? So why we just can't surrender? It's not unreasonable. It's reasonable, the Bible tells us. But not only you find it's reasonable, but it is right. God owns our body. So he has the right to it. It was Paul who said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. Now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Verse 21 said, for to me to live is Christ. It's the right thing to do. See? Not only is it reasonable and right, but it is rewarding. Amen. It is rewarding. Amen. See. As a young person, you'll be a pure, pure person. Amen. Not been running around messing up your life. As our sister appealed to the young people in her testimony, don't follow my example, she said. You're in the right place, she said. See. It's rewarding. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord he shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for he served the Lord's Christ. See, it's rewarding. So folks, do we want any other better argument? Why? God appealed to us to surrender. God says there is no better. It is reasonable. It is right. It is rewarding. So facing the new year. Surrender for the work of God. But let me just quickly, get in there quickly. We're going to wrap up soon. Not only surrender for the work of God, but submit to the word of God. Note what it says. And be not conformed to this world. The word of God tells us not to be conformed to this world. Every believer should be a nonconformist. See? Not conforming to the world. God wants us to protect our mind from the evil influences, from the immoralities, from the idolatries of this world, this age which we live in. And the best way for this to be done is to submit to God's word. Submit to the word of God. Note what will happen if we truly submit to the word of God as we face this year. First of all, we are told we will avoid conformity to the world. Be not conformed to this world. This is a command that demands our attention and our allegiance. We are not to allow the world to squeeze us or shape us into its form, its fancy, its fashion. We are not to allow it. We have the responsibility to avoid it. It doesn't happen naturally. See? The Bible tells us how to avoid conformity to the world. Not by not loving the world. The Bible tells us, John chapter 1, 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, these are not of the Father, but they are of the world. The world is passing away, and the lust thereof. So not by loving the world, we are showing that we are not conforming to it. Not by looking and living like the world. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. Says, for as much then as Christ also suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that had suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walk in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatry. Wherein in time past they think it strange. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. Wherein in time past they think it strange that he run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. The day is coming that we will have to give an account to God. See? And God tells us, don't conform, avoid conformity to the world by not loving it, by not looking and living like it. That is very clear in Scripture. To submit to the Word of God. When we do, we will avoid conformity to the world. But secondly, we will allow change by the Word. That's the positive side. Avoid conformity to the world. Allow change. You know, sometimes as believers, you're just amazed that people sit in church for years, claim to be saved for years, and they have not changed. You wonder, is there a problem with the word? No way. The problem is with us. We have attitude. We block our ears. We act as if we're listening, but we're not. Day is coming when you and I are going to be sorry. See? When we submit to the Word of God, we are allowing the Holy Spirit to use the Holy Scripture to change us. See? The Bible gives us the process for this change. Knowing the Lord, the first thing you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? That's the first step. And if you're in Christ, all things are going to pass away. And new things. Sometimes it might be slow for some, but if you're truly saved, change will happen. It's the process. The power is the Holy Spirit again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, as we spend time in the scripture, we are changed by the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So, how are we going to face this year? Surrender for the work of God. Paul appealed to us. He gives us the argument why. Submit to the word of God. And then finally, stay in the will of God. As we surrender and submit, we will prove, as the ending of verse 2 says, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when we know what God's will is, we stay in that will. See? Irrespective of how things are, we know what God expects of us, we just stay in God's will. There are many things that will confront and challenge us this year. But as long as we know what God expects of us, just stay doing what you know is right. You can't go wrong doing right. Just end by just saying, first of all, we must find God's will. John chapter 7, verse 17, if any man desire or willing to do his will, he shall know. If you have the desire to know God's will, God will show it to you. So you must find God's will. Bible also tells us that we must follow God's will. When we know what God expects of us, just follow it. Follow it. And without much elaboration, when we find it, we follow it, then we fulfill it. Paul, again, one of my verses, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. prophet came and said, look, Paul, if you go up to Jerusalem, they're going to capture you. And they're going to kill you. Paul says, Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry that I receive of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify his grace. And he did. When he came to the end in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, he said, I have fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me. But not to me only. To those of us who are here, who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let's face this year doing what God wants us to do. As your theme says, make it count. Say, make it count. If you're not saved, I want to challenge you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What better time to do it than at the beginning of a year? If you as a Christian, you profess to be saved, you're taking God for granted, you're acting as if you don't care, I challenge you. Get things right with the Lord, and you will see what God can do for you